You are listening to
Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, it's been a busy morning already. It's been a very, very busy Monday morning. I went down to the post office. Well, first, me and my wife went grocery shopping and stuff like that, but I went to the post office this morning just to check on things, see what people heaving my warning in reference to the Benton Harbor post office. Make sure that they understood that we are at war. This is no conflict. We're at war for years. The same thing has been happening over and over and over again. And I had the pleasure to actually speak to about six people. But one person I met who really got two people I talked to really got my attention. They wanted to know, it was a white guy, he's an attorney. He wanted to know why we was boycotting the Benton Harbor post office. And he started telling me his stories of mail disappearing, mail not getting to where it should be 3 and 4 weeks later, packages open. He said that he's shocked that somebody hasn't stepped up to the plate and decided that we need to speak out and boycott the post office. He said he had never, ever, ever in his life, and he said he lived in many places, but this has to be one of the worst post offices in the nation. Well, it really hadn't been so bad to my home address. I just didn't know. We don't even know how much, how many envelopes, how many letters, how many checks, how many cards where someone sent money and it came up. We didn't know that because I had no idea. You know, and that personally, I really didn't care. I didn't want to really get involved with all that. And that's how most people are. But this young man, he told me, he said, well, you know, people should have been boycotting and picking in this post office for years. He said it has to be classified as one of the worst post offices in the nation, he said. He said, I told him, I said, well, it didn't always used to be like that. He said, he knows that. He said, but right now, he classified this post office as one of the worst. He said, you go in there, I guess her name is Heather or something, and if you talk to her, he said he had talked to her before. And I told him about my conversation with Heather, you know. Rather than trying to correct the problem, she was trying to set up some kind of reason why a person would take mail, put it in their truck, open it, if there's money in there, take it out. And I said, that doesn't make any sense at all. It just didn't make sense. And I had to tell her. I said, that don't make sense. I said, what we're doing now, we're just spinning our wheel. I said, I'll go call the postal inspector. Let them investigate this and see what we come up with. You can try to cover it up now, you go, which I know you're probably trying to cover your butt. But I'm still going to report it. That way they can be on the lookout for you guys. And what he told me was not unusual. Now, even since I put this on Facebook, 30 to 40 people had contacted me about that. They messaged me, then did everything you could think of, telling me about some of the problems. One girl sent me a video of the postman and his actions, the way he was talking to her. See, the post office has gone ghetto. It's straight up ghetto now, you know. They hire anybody who want to work. Anybody. Don't make no difference who they are. I don't even know whether they're taking a test now, but also they got this 89-day thing they have during the Christmas time, and they may have hired this person for the 89 days. But whatever, she's straight up ghetto. I'm going to tell you just like it is. You know, especially the one that hang out on Jefferson Hill and the Pipestone area, Bronson, those little streets over there. Be aware of your mail. It's important. Be aware of your mail. People going through your mail looking for money that people send you cash, people send you checks. They're looking for money. So you have to be aware. It appears that everything that got to do with Benton Harbor, you know, is messed up. I mean, we can be classified as the worst of everything. Think about the police department that we have. That's got to be the worst police department in the world. You know, you got if you call the police, you got about an 80 to 90% chance of that cop not showing up. That's if it's strictly in the ghetto. If it's in the ghetto, you got about a, I would say just off the top of my head, let's say you got an 80% chance of the police not showing up. 80%. They may show up. They're not even going to show up then. I didn't call the police a lot of times. It ain't show up. One time they called them, and I wanted them to make a report because I knew they weren't going to do nothing. This guy had ran a truck into my building. And I knew they couldn't do nothing. Just make the report. We take the report and move to the next level. That's how you deal with this. But you're dealing with people who have no respect for each other. I don't get it. I don't see how black people could accept this stuff, then cry about it. We like crybabies. We cry over and over and over again about something that we could have stopped a long time ago. See, you got to remember that freedom is acquired by conquest, not by gift, not by quip. Nobody is going to give you freedom. Nobody. It must be pursued. And you must win the battle and the war. Because I'm going to tell you just like it is. Nobody is going to free you. Nobody. That's right. Nobody is going to free you. And you as a black person, nobody really cares. Nobody really cares. Nobody cares about that. Hello, Toy. Dorothy, nobody really cares about that. Nobody. Nobody cares about stuff like that. And they don't. They don't care. Who cares? Who care about black folks? Who care about black people? Black people don't care about black people. Black people don't care. Black people don't care about black people. And that's the fact. Black people don't care about black people. Matter of fact, black people are one of black people's greatest enemies. They are the ones that's killing, shooting, and doing all these things. And it's important because what we have done, we have allowed these people to take and steal from us. Let me talk about Ron Singleton just for a second. He was able to maneuver the radio station from the community and the people. Nobody said a word until I spoke up about it. Nobody. Nobody cares until I spoke up about the radio station. Now, this radio station belongs to the community. This guy trying to use it for a cash cow. You should be able to go on the radio free of charge. Free. You should be able to use this radio station whenever you want to use it. We should not allow people like Ron Singleton steal and take from the community. See, black people have a history of not wanting to do nothing until somebody else do something. Then they want to take credit for it, you see. But we don't care who get credit, long as we stop this guy. This guy's a straight-up thief. That's what he is. He even getting lieutenant pay from the police department, and he was a corporal or something. So I don't know what he was, but he's stealing money for the last 10 years and getting away with it. He's getting away with it because you don't care. What do you care? I'm not going to get involved with that. You already involved because he's taking from you. These people have been taken and taken and taken. And this is why the post office is able to get away with what they do. They don't care nothing about you. The post office don't care nothing about you. They don't care whether you get mail or not, long as they get their check. I will never buy another stamp from that post office in Benton Harbor. I won't. That's just me. I will not buy a stamp. I will not send a package. If I have to send a package, I'll go to Watervliet, Coloma, I'll go anywhere, but I will not do anything here in the city of Benton with this post office. It's a ghetto post office. You got ghetto people working there. You got a white lady. She's white trash. She's the one calling the shots. You know, that's what we have. But the problem is nobody really cares. They don't care. But let me finish talking about this guy who I met at the post office and explained to him why, and he applauded it. He said, I am so happy. He had two packages in his hand. He said, I will not go into this post office ever again. I said, well, sometimes you might receive a package where you may have to go. He said, if I can help it, I'm not going to do it. He said, I'm not going to have anything to do with the Bidenham post office ever again. And that was really powerful. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why it was so powerful, because usually you can get white folks to join you in a protest or boycott. The hardest thing is get black folks. They like being oppressed. They like being beat down. They love it. They tell you they don't, but they do. They love being oppressed. They love being beat down. Well, even if they don't, it appears to me that they love it because that's who they run to. They allow people, they go out and vote for people who know not is not doing things in their favor. They will go out and vote for people because they went to school with them, knowing that he's not for you and your children. They'll do that and then complain. This is the history of Benton Harbor. Take a good look at it. There's not a reason in this world that the city of Benton Harbor should be looking like it is. With all the money that come through here, everybody's getting fat but you. And they got you paying all out of your nose. That's right. They got you paying all out of your nose for everything. You even paying a water bill that they received 4 or 5 grants that they supposed to be paying your water bill until this water get good. That's why they say in a minute that the water is good to drink. Don't drink this water. Don't drink it. Don't listen to nothing they say. They're liars. They'll bring a white person in to tell you that the water is good to drink. Then you ask him, will he drink it? He'll say no. I remember I was on a call with the guys from the EPA and Eagles, and he was, oh, the water good to drink. I said, will you bring your children down here to drink it? He wouldn't say that he was going to bring his children down here to drink this water. He would not say that he would bring his children down to drink this water. But it's okay for you to drink it because you are expendable. That's what you have these white devils out here doing. And you have the nerve to want to support them and back them up. And those of you who are out there who support this man, you are sick. This guy don't care whether you live or die. He's the lowest of the lows. He don't even take care of his family. Never seen him with his family. Never. All these years I have known him, I've never seen him. And you sit down here and think it's all right. People have you been converted into where you accept just about anything people say. Do your homework. We got a city that's so messed up, everybody getting paid but you. You paying them. All kind of money is coming through. All kind. All kind of money is coming through. And you're not getting a nickel of it. Yeah. Black people that live in the city are the only people playing by the rules created by people who don't follow them. You got black elected officials that you voted for, they are not playing by the rules. They do not follow the rules. They do whatever they want to do because they know you're not going to investigate. You're not going to say nothing. Somebody else has to say something in order to get something done. And they know that about you. You know, if you continue to be silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoyed every single minute of it. They will kill you. They will kill you and say you enjoyed every single minute of it. That's right. That's right. That's right. A corrupt system thrives on lies, and the corrupt system is very violent against people who are tempted to tell the truth, who are attempting to tell the truth. This system is so corrupt from the courthouse all the way down. You see, we're the only people trying to play by the rules. We try to play by the rules. They changed the rules, and now we're in violation of their rules, of their own rules. They don't play by their rules, but they want you to play by the rules. And they will stay on you until you do what they want you to do. We had over $40 million allocated for this city. Over $40 million. Everybody that was hired to do the work was white. White folks. Strictly white folks. So they took the $40 million out of the city of Benton Harbor, didn't circulate a dime, didn't even go to the ARAF store to buy pop. They strictly brought their own lunch so they wouldn't have to spend a dime in the city of Benton Harbor. So they took the whole over $40 million directly out of the city. And this is the sad part. Adamark went out and got a $40 plaque and gave it to the elected officials. And they was cheesing all day. They had given Adamar, and listen to this, $40 million. So they goes out and buy them a plaque for $40. And they were so happy. Oh, we doing such a great job. You ain't did nothing. You're not doing a thing. You have done exactly nothing. Nothing. You have done exactly nothing. Unbelievable. This is the world that we live in. We're living in a world that's built on corruption. Black people want white folks to like them. Black people, well, these guys, not all black folks now, We got some real soldiers out here fighting. But as soon as they get elected, they change their tune. I can't wait to have a new mayor. I can't. We'll start there. And this time we better be better prepared. Everybody to go out and vote. You got to vote. You got to go out and vote. We got to clean this city up. It all depends on what we do. This guy turned out to be the worst mayor in the history of Benton Harbor. That's right. He's the worst mayor. He's Hightower on steroids. Remember when Hightower was the mayor? He was bad. But I think Hightower had a little class. Marcus don't have any class. He's a loser. He's a born loser. Because nobody believes what is happening today is actually happening. Nobody. Nobody. You give somebody $40 million and they give you a plaque and you think you have done something. Newspaper blow it up. Adamark gives the city elected officials a plaque for a good job because they gave them $40 million and they think it's all right. They was, you should have saw him cheese and taking pictures with the little cheap plaque. You know, unbelievable. But this is us. We got to change. We got to change the way we do business. And let me tell you about another person I met at the post office today. She also will be boycotting the Ben Harbor. What's called? But she told me, she said she heard my show on yesterday, and she said that I said that a woman could not raise a man, which is, that's a true statement. But there are some women that have raised young boys to become men. I would say maybe 5%. I would say maybe even less than that, 5%. Of the women's household, when there was no man around, probably their son to be successful. One of the things that we have to do, we have to teach our children. Number one thing, you as his mother, you don't want to be your children's friend. You're not going to drink with them. You're not going to smoke with them. You're not going to do all these things with him. But you will go to his baseball game, his basketball game, his football game. You see, that's how we deal with him. Because if there's no man in the house, he don't see a man that puts on his pants one leg at a time. A man have a real man request and demand a certain amount of respect, you see. And then if you have a boyfriend over your children, he might come in and do anything, you know, which is very, very, very consistent with what is happening today in the world. So, I like I told her, she had a couple of boys. And they are excellent kids, children. I shouldn't say kids, children. They are excellent. Going to college, very respectful towards their mother, talk well about the mother. Their father died, but they actually turned out good. And it can happen. But the thing is, you don't need to be your children's friend. What you need to do is discipline them when they step out of bounds. When they step across that line, you have an obligation to chastise them. Just like I told the story of on yesterday about the little boy about 5 years old calls his mother the B word. Oh, I ain't doing nothing, you old B Oh, man, I exploded. I said, oh, no. I took my belt off. I gave it to her. I said, tear that butt up. So I told her, just like this, smoke that booty. I show you. You know, because, you know, I said, he's the next one going to be riding around here selling dope and doing everything that he want to do and making you do things. Because next he's going to be whooping you. And she said, this lady, she said, well, I believe I understand exactly where you're going. But I don't let my children, get out of control. You know, I don't let, and she said the same thing I said. She said, my children, we're not friends, she said, in a son relationship. You know, and she said, well, I go to the games, I watch them, I take them there, she said, and I pick them up. She said, when they want to go somewhere, they want to go to the mall, they go with me. She said, anything that they want to do, it comes through me. They just don't do stuff because their friends is doing stuff. Yeah. What they do, what their friends do is on them. My children do not hang out with these folks. But here's something that happened. There was this 12-year-old, I guess he was 12 when he first started killing. This little 12-year-old boy, he was playing basketball. And he walked out to the back and shoot the boy in the back of the head. Shoot him dead in the back of the head because he was mad because he lost the basketball game. And the mother was actually afraid of this boy, you see. And I tell you, any time that I have children and I'm afraid of them, they'll never be around me. Never. Because I don't think there's a reason, I don't think there's a child in the world that I'm going to be afraid of. I don't think so. You know. Now all these kids got guns and stuff, you know. And it's you know, you talking about thinking about what happened during slavery all these years, over 450 years of slavery, you see. And that mentality, reason unknown, everybody got to shoot. There's no talking. There's no fist fighting. Strictly shooting. You know, if you that big of a coward that you got to have a gun to settle something, then you got a problem. Only reason I would carry a gun or have a gun is that I know you got one and it's going to be a shootout. You know, but unfortunately, that's not the way things are supposed to be. And I always like to be excited about things that's happening around us, you know. And just remember, our history was written by those who hung us. They hated us, but they needed us to work their fields. Black people is the only people on earth where you see taking advantage of them. You got Chinese taking advantage of black folks. You got the Japanese taking advantage of black folks. The Koreans taking advantage of white black folks. You got white folks taking advantage of black folks. You got black folks taking advantage of black folks. And you got the Indians at the store. You send your child to the store, they cheat. You know, and get away with it. They cheat them. They actually cheat them. If you go there with one of them old, the debit cards, whatever cards they have, they take as much money as they want. They charge the little kids as much as they want with no receipt, no nothing. They don't even give them a receipt. And the mother, when they come home, don't say a word. See, we got to get better with our children. Right now, we're messing this thing up for the future of our children. We got to educate them on a different level. a different level. We got to show them that we're willing to fight for them, but fight in a way where they can join in. I'm not talking about an actual fist fight. I'm talking about a boycott. We don't buy stuff from this store. We don't allow people from there. You know, people, it's important. It's important that we take care of the future of our children, because their future is that we can sit around here and talk all day and all night long, but it doesn't mean a thing. It don't mean a thing if there's no action behind it. You see, you have to do. There's nothing more important than our children. But I'm going to say this to bring in my good friend, Dr. Taz. I just want to say this. McDonald Monday is today. Every single Monday, you are not to shop at Mickey D's, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Taco Bell. Monday, every single Monday, you are not to spend any money with them. Tuesday is ticket lottery day. You are not to buy any lottery tickets. I don't care if the jackpot $1 billion. And the higher the jackpot, the lesser chance you have to win. So that's important. No, on Tuesday, do not spend any money on lottery tickets. Not a dime. Wednesday, Walmart. Do not shop at Walmart. Do not go to 7-Eleven. Do not go to none of these small convenience stores, these Indian stores, and all this kind of stuff. Don't go there. Keep your money in your pocket. Keep your money in your pocket. Because we're fighting for a reason. I know a lot of people don't like you fighting, but who cares? I care less about what other people think. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. You don't even have to like me, you know. If you see me coming down the street, you don't feel like speaking, don't speak. You're not going to, that's just one last person I don't have to talk to. That's how I look at it. Oh, I don't like them. Who cares? I don't care. Sometimes I don't even like myself. But the reality is we fight for our children. Wednesday, Walmart. No Walmart. None. No 7-Eleven. None of them things. Thursday, do not buy any gas. You can gas up Monday, Tuesday, even Wednesday. But when it comes to Thursday, do not buy any gas. None. But we're going to keep it that way. You are not to buy any gas. None. Not one single drop. No gas. And then Friday, foreigners. We are not dealing with any foreigners on Friday. The nails, the Chinese food, the weeds, and all these stores, even these Indian stores, we are not to spend no money on Friday. Make sure you understand that. You want to go get a foot massage, don't do it on Friday. No foot massage on Friday. No nails getting done on Friday. No spending money for weave and all that other kind of stuff on Friday. No Chinese food, Korean food, Japanese food, none of that stuff. We're keeping our money in our pocket. And I tell you, I had such a wonderful, wonderful day today. I got a chance to go to the post office and encourage people. The best thing was these two people, well, actually it was six people all together who was going to go into and spend some money, and I encouraged them not to, and they did, you know. So six people, that's, you know, probably everybody else, once I left, other people probably went. But the point was, it was a very, very successful day. Very successful day. And we got to stay focused on the big picture. Black folks. We got a problem. We got a problem. Let's solve it, though. On that note, let me bring in the one and only There's not even two of this young man. There's not even two of there's not even two Dr. Tans in this whole wide world. There's only one Dr. Tan. And he's my man. I love him. I love him. I love him. And tell you this, Dr. Tans, talk to me. You the real hero here. Let's talk.
So now you are the hero on the front line, but the thing that's important I want people to be clear of is the understanding that what you are trying to do is create a pattern. You're trying to create a pattern to show that you're unified. This is a pattern of unity, a pattern of unity, a pattern of unity. And that's what was used during the Montgomery bus boycott. What wind up happening, it took people a while before they got on board. And once they got on board, they made change. But remember, our people have been taught, as black people, we have been taught to be anti-black, anti-self-esteem, not loving ourselves, not supporting ourselves, not working together with ourselves. That's who we are. That's who we've been taught to be. That we were not born that way. That was something that was taught. And so, therefore, what I'm saying to you is that the Montgomery boycott took a year before they were successful. The Montgomery boycott took a year before they were successful. And the reason why it took that long was because we were slow to work together as a people. And so now what I'm saying to you is that we must come together and help to create this pattern so that the world knows that we're talking to each other. See, right now the world doesn't know that we talk to each other and support each other because they thought that we've all been brainwashed. We talk, you know, number reason why you go to miseducation. The reason why you go to miseducation is because in order for people to be enslaved, they have to be miseducated. In order for people to be enslaved, they have to be miseducated. That's why your God and your people will not look the same. That's why your God and your people will not look the same. So the people will look like, will look different from their God. If you are a healthy people, your God and you look the same. If you are white, your God is white. If you are Chinese or Japanese, your God looks Chinese or Japanese. If you are Arab, then your God looks Arab. But the African people have been so injured mentally over the last 300 years that our God looks like the person who raped us. Our God looks like the person who hung us. Our God looks like the person who burned us. Our God looks like the person who had dogs be ripped up by dogs and stuff like that. Our God looks like the person who took and raped our children. Our God looks like the one who burnt our children, who cut our women's bellies, and the baby fell out right before the lynching. That's who our God looks like. And we have to reconcile that so that we can start to become healthy. See, if we say that NIG, that person, and what you spit is so easy to kill a black person, but so much fear breaks out when you want to kill a white person who even look like a bum, that's showing you that you had a miseducation. And our education should be helping to rebuild a black nation. Education should be helping to rebuild a black nation. So what you do to destroy a nation, you'll destroy the woman. You destroy the woman by messing up her mind. You destroy the woman. Any black woman's mind is destroyed when they show their behind instead of the intelligence of their mind. If we look back in the Black Power movement, the Black Women movement, that we'll see those are real women. What happened, they took the housewives and made them hoes. Anytime you're showing your ASS, anytime you're showing your behind, that is indicative of you have lost your mind as a black woman. And when you actually, as a black woman, start to love another woman, then that shows that you have lost your mind because you cannot reproduce. The same is for men. Men who love other men cannot reproduce. And that's what you do, a miseducation to eliminate and destroy a nation, because you need to cut down their numbers. You cut down their numbers by making sure that they don't procreate and they don't mate that can make a family. You make sure that they hate themselves so they kill each other. That's how you decrease their numbers. Then you kill them on the birthing table in terms of why we have a high infant mortality rate, why the babies are always dying. Now we know that they're going after the black women, and we got that exposed when they try to take out Serena Williams or Vanessa Williams, and they didn't even care that she was world famous. All they knew, she was a black woman trying to bring a black baby into the world, and they tried not to treat her. So this is the reality why we have to show a pattern of unity, a pattern of coming together. We are guilty of not loving our children. We are guilty of not supporting our children. We are guilty of not laying a foundation for our children. We are guilty of lying to our children and not tell them that the world was racist, that the world was full of hate, that the world hate them because they were kissed by the sun. And in Genesis chapter 2:17, tell them that they were made in the image of God, because God took this black dirt from verses 2:11 to 2:13. He took this black dirt from coming from Nubia all the way to Ethiopia or to Cush, and he breathed into this black dirt, and man and woman became a living soul. So they hate us because we were made in the living image of God. So we have to tell our children that, and we have to continue to tell our children that we can't be equal to them, that we got to be three times better than them, to four times better than them, because we're the ones who gave them civilization. You cannot have our children have a low standard when for 10,000 years Europe was in the Ice Age and you had already built the Sphinx. You cannot tell us that to be on the same level when you were 10,000 years, when you had built temples and science and math and art and engineering and government, and Europe was in the Ice Age. You cannot tell them to be equal. Yes, you have the genetic potential because God created you first. God loved you first, and then you went out and you whiten up, lighten up, and did climatic adaptation. But now mentally we have to tighten up, because our children don't believe us because we lie to them in our behaviors and our actions. It says, don't do as I say, do as I do. And we do not do as we do. We are a lying, low-life people when it comes to trying to hold us according to the standard of the Torah, of the Quran, or of the Bible. We have to get ourselves right as adults. We have to be role models and images to our children. We have to stop playing the coon and the buffoon. And what we see now in the day in the world is Africa is trying to reunite to us so that we have a land, that we have resources, and that we have a history. We cannot be a mystery. Negroes who don't want to identify Africa are test tube babies. Negroes who don't want to identify with Africa are test tube babies made during slavery. And those people have slave minds, and you have to leave their behind. You have to leave their behind. You don't be fighting with Negroes who don't want to identify with Africa, with Egypt, with Ethiopia, with Kush, with Somalia, with Songhai, with Timbuktu. You don't want to waste your time with them because their minds have been so injured and so broken down. That's why that the American people now say we have to keep them from their identity. If Hebrew Israelites got it right. Hebrew Israelites got it right. Because they're trying to do the black fight. Now the Nation of Islam is trying to get it right. They're finally doing the black right. I came up underneath Dr. Yosef Ben Yochanan. I came underneath Dr. John Henry Clark. I came underneath Dr. Asa Hilliard. I came underneath Dr. Ivan Ben Sudama. My good friend was also Renoko Rashidi, James Bronson. These are who I came under that I traveled with. And back then, the Nation of Islam did not focus on the history of the black man in terms of the African man. They had been misled and they were going Asiatic, but now they have to backtrack, and they come from the source. And that source comes from the foothills of the mountain of the moon where the Nile got, where Hopi dwells, which is the Nile River, which is the Blue Nile and the White Nile. So we have to start saying nah to those who don't want to go back and get our memory right. But whether say not of those who don't want to go back and check the facts. And so right now, everybody knows our greatness but us. Everybody knows our greatness but us. The Chinese know about Fuxi, F-U-H-S-I. They know about Fuxi, F-U-H-S-I, as their first emperor of China with virgin black skin and woolly hair. They know about Sakura no Tomoro. They know about Sakura no Tomoro. They know that Sakura no Tomoro was the first shogun samurai of Japan with black skin and woolly hair. See, the whole thing of racism is a new jack that started in the 1400s with the Illuminati. And now the United States is one of the main leaders of the Illuminati, and they got the world trying to whiten up instead of culturally tighten up. They have the world trying to whiten up instead of culturally tighten up. That's why Nigeria had to ban whitening creams. They had to ban white actresses in their commercials because our children in Africa were trying to not be themselves and burnt their skin to bleach themselves because they were being taught self-hate and not self-love. And so we have to first give self-love, and that's where if you're going to put your lips together and try to say you're a Christian and you don't like the black skin that you're in and that the black Jesus who died for your sin, then you don't even reflect him. So you don't even need to use the word Christ. You just need to go and join one of the satanic groups. Because Revelation 1:14 is clear, and if you go in the Geneva Bible, if you go in the Tyndale Bible, if you go in the Wycliffe Bible, in that same 1:13 verse, it says that his skin was like the soot of a chimney. His skin was like the soot of a chimney. His skin was like the soot of a chimney. In other words, King James said that was redundant. He took that out. He left in burnt bronze. And these Negroes now are trying to turn the burnt bronze into brass. Brass wasn't invented until the 1600s. Jesus and them never saw no brass. It was the bronze age during that time. It was the iron age during that time. So they're trying to mislead the minds. And so that we have to, if we want to get biblically correct, we have to get our Jesus correct. Because that's one main thing that's going to free our mind. So when the clouds crack and you see them coming in the sky, you're going to see a black man with woolly hair, eyes that are red in anger because he's coming to whoop some A. You're going to see a black man that has the burnt bronze feet. You're going to have the black man that has the skin that's like the soot of a chimney. And his hair is going to be wool. And you Negroes are so messed up in your mind that you try to focus on the white color and not on the wool texture. No, the white represents age and wisdom, not what you think. You see, so if you call yourself a Christian, you better think, because you're the same one that would be out there in the crowd saying, crucify him, crucify him. Because Jesus didn't meet a black man, and Jesus didn't meet a black man until he came out the womb and saw Joseph. And then because he came from a black woman, and Jesus lived amongst the blacks. That's why and the prophecy says in Hosea 1:11 that out of Egypt, out of Ethiopia, out of Africa, I will call my son. And that's why the angel told Joseph to take him so he can grow up in Benton Harbor. Benton Harbor used to be called Egypt back then. And that's how he hid in a black city away from the Europeans called the Romans, the Europeans called the Greeks, or what we call St. Joe today, or Stephen's Joe today, so that they couldn't go and find him. And he stayed there until it was time for his calling. But the preachers don't want to deal with that because they want to teach you to make sure that you're comfortable with your slavery. The preachers don't want to teach you that Moses, they never had to worry about any funds because the Hebrew people were wealthy people. When they needed gold to build a sanctuary, the people kept coming for days and days. But now black people have taught to them to be poor. They taught to them destitute. They taught not to save. They taught to spend what they have. They taught to pretend that they have more than what they have. They don't make sure that they save for the future. That's what we've been taught. So we want to make sure that we don't have any excess capital that we can leave for generational wealth. We want to make sure we smoke that up in some weed. We want to make sure that we do that up in some dope. So that's how they tricked us to make sure that we don't save the $1.3 trillion that we have the spending power that we spend out on our lottery tickets, that we spend that on fast food, that we spend that on weed, we spend that on fingernails, we spend that on eyelashes, we spend that on getting tattoos. Mm-hmm. Now we spend that on clothes that you could actually see through. So we waste our money we waste our money. We waste our money because if we held on to my money, we would become the Black Wall Street. And we can't become a Black Wall Street now because niggas have clicks. We can't become a Black Wall Street now because niggas have clicks. They have friendship, partnerships, and relationships, and that's what kept us from accomplishing sugar, honey, iced tea. We haven't accomplished sugar, honey, iced tea because of click relationships. The school system was guilty of that before Townsville came. They were losing $1 million a year on relationships, friendships, and clicks. And what happened is once he cleared that out and made sure that the right number of staff was with the right number of students, he was able to save millions and put the school in a good place. We can still do that today. Negroes are going to try to want to go back in time and try to do stupidness when the computer age is here, when the government has their eye on you and what's going to be happening when the government comes to take the school away. No nigger should say nothing, not one, because you done screwed up. You did that, being niggerish, being ignorant, trying to go in the old ways. You have to now know that the world has changed, that the future has changed, and you can't be who you were yesterday. You have to be better than you were yesterday. That's the problem right now. Africa's right now having conferences in America, and Africa just told them that they told them, they quoted Malcolm, no more days like those. The days when you would come and tell Africa this is what you're going to do, those days are through. We can go to China. We can go to Russia. We can go to Cuba. We can go other places. We don't need you now. You're going to have to prove your worth to us. They didn't even have an agenda or a schedule. When the Chinese tried to do that, the Africans told them, you can take your rice. The visit was nice, and get on out of here. Then they came back. How can we help you? How can we put a plan together to work with you? That's what the Chinese said. Russians are coming. We want to work with you now. We want to put a plan together that you need because we see China is here, but we want to be here too. The Russians are coming in there. What America's saying, we made slaves of you guys, so that means, you need to still listen to what I said. You need to represent. We gave you the white Christ. We gave you a white Christ. Without us, you wouldn't be anything. You see, Africans are saying, we don't need you anymore. We understand that the Jesus that you're talking about started here in North Africa. The Jesus that you're talking about, that Palestine, Canaan land, that's black land. Don't you understand that that's Northern Africa? Just because you put a Suez Canal between Northern Egypt and Palestine, that don't make it off the continent. That just means you just got a little water breeze like the Sault Ste. Marie that you just crossed your boat through, but it's still Africa. And that Christ you're talking about, Christianity, the oldest church in Christianity is in Africa, not in Europe. So the Africans have now become more educated, and they realize they see the power. And the former ambassador of the African Union has a diaspora program that's looking out for the descendants of enslaved Africans in America to reunite with us, because we have some knowledge and technology they'll have, so that we do our own thing, that we sit back on the throne, that the Wakanda now is becoming a reality, that we're going to bring back that knowledge, bring back that technology, and uplift the race, because all the mineral wealth in the world sits in Africa. Now, one of the other richest places in the world is called Haiti. They actually have mountains where dirt is growing on top of rare metal from meteors that you can do like vibranium. And that's why there's always assassinating the leaders over in Haiti or trying to make sure they got house niggas in politics, because they don't want the Haitian people to know how wealthy they are again. Don't you know the United States still charges them a not-to-go-to-war tax? Don't you know Britain charges them a not-to-go-to-war tax? French charges them a not-to-go-to-war tax? Where those sit down, they need to have Cuba come in, Russia come in, and China come in and tell America to take your tax and go to hell with it, and that way take their money and rebuild Haiti again. The money from Haiti to do and build itself up is coming to those countries. That's why they keep Haiti poor. That's the same technique that they keep in America, that they keep blacks mentally poor, spiritually poor, and physically poor. The ghetto was created for Jews from Europe and from Russia and from Germany. if they were not created for us, we moved in and replaced them. But now the Hispanic has come in, and they've pushed us from the black middle class back to being last again. We're not even number two in America's census anymore. We're now in third mm-hmm. place. And that's why even in the movie, the Ryan Coogler was trying to tell you, look, what's happening is the Hispanic is fighting against us. What you found in California, you see the Hispanic against us because the Castilian Spanish, the European Spanish, the ones from Europe, are the ones who took the Indians who were enslaved, took the Africans who were enslaved, and tried to mate with them. They did mate with them, and then tried to control them. It's the same thing that the Arabs did 500 years before Europeans stepped on the continent. What people don't know, Mansa Musa, yes, he was the richest man, but he didn't know that the Arabs, when he went to Mecca, became so greedy and that they wanted to steal the gold from the people. And when they couldn't steal the gold, they stole the black gold, which were the people. And that the Arab slave, which started, never ended. And in 20, and I can tell you that the exact date of December 19, 2022, Arab slavery of Africans is still going on. And you can look up the Global Slavery Index. Global Slavery Index, they still enslaved us. I had a European-American gentleman in the office today, and he was saying that he didn't feel Obama did anything. I said, yeah, one of the number one things that Obama could have done, but he didn't do, because Obama is an immigrant. Obama is an immigrant. He's not a DOSA, descendant of enslaved Africans in America. He's not a descendant of enslaved Africans. He's an immigrant, so therefore he didn't have an interest in our interest. I said the other chick who's there now, she's also an immigrant. She's an immigrant from Jamaica and from India. She's an immigrant from Jamaica and India, so she don't have our interest. And what you have to understand, the non-immigrant doesn't have the same rights and benefits as the immigrant. See, Obama comes in as a full human being. Harris comes in as a full human being. But the descendant of enslaved Africans, me and you, Benton Harbor, we are still in the Constitution, three-fifths human being. We're still three-fifths human being according to the United States Constitution. And the Dred Scott decision, and the Dred Scott decision says that we are not full citizens, that we were never meant to be full citizens, that we came here as workers and as cattle and as property. So we don't have the full rights. The Civil Rights Bill is the only reason why people like who killed George Floyd can be prosecuted. They can't be prosecuted for direct murder because you can't murder property. That's why when you see that blacks are killed and they're being and the person is going to jail, they're going to jail on a civil rights violation, not on being a human right. The African American still doesn't have human rights, and any black politician who doesn't start advocating for the black human rights, doesn't start talking about descendants of enslaved Africans in America, the DOSA, or trying to do reparations where you guaranteed free education because you could not educate, you were killed, you were lynched, your hands were chopped off if you try to become educated, and that's just for free education. Free medical care. You should not be paying for medicine since they brutalized you, didn't feed you, didn't give you medicines and let you die. So you need free education. So free education, free medicine, free medical care. You know, we also have to have it where we don't pay any taxes because we were never paid for over 400 years. So how can we pay taxes now that no, if you're a descendant of enslaved Africans, you should not pay taxes at least for 400 years, no less than 100 years. So you need to look at real things. That there should be no property tax on anything. That if a black person has a home, there should not be property tax on those. And that black people should be allowed to have land. Black people should be allowed to have zero interest loans. They actually shut down the black owned banks that were FDI insured and never paid the descendants back, and that had a 1% interest. So that means 1% interest over the last 300 years is due anybody who can trace their ancestry back to being in the Freedmen's Bank. So you got that situation going on. You also have the money that's owed by the Native Americans in the 1863 Indian Treaty that the Indians of America owed reparations to the blacks, to the Africans. I know I'm running out of time, but I had to share that. Thank you, Honorable Rand.
We all understand, but I tell you, that's too much information. Listen, I know Sunday is Christmas. I'd love to have you come on Sunday and go through this, because I tell you, you're giving me an education I'll never forget. I don't know, Sunday, you know, it's a holiday, you know, but let me know.
We'll do for you. We'll do for you.
All right. It's going down. Listen, I got to go. Talk to y'all soon. Best of you, Doc. We'll talk soon. All right.
Thank you.